Today on the AV Podcast, I invite some of my Sal Sharaf family members as we wrap our heads around coronavirus. It's such a crazy time right now. I didn't actually want to jump on this topic right away. I kind of wanted to just take some of the information in first, kind of process this before lending this platform to speak on this. Before I go into this any further, I implore everyone to stay safe and please stay positive. Make sure you wash your hands, sanitize, and please be respectful of others. We're taking this as serious as possible to flatten this curve. Let's continue to do our part. This podcast was originally recorded on Wednesday night, where our thoughts shared were more raw. But I think it's definitely good to get that out so we continue to move forward. Now, with that said, while I plan on continuing to post podcasts, they won't all be about the coronavirus, because as much as we're about being educated on the subject, I also want to serve as a healthy distraction as well and to kind of take your mind away from everything as best as I can. But I definitely had to cover this topic as my first episode since everything started rapidly changing around this last week. To just flat out ignore this would be ridiculous. All right, so I thank you in advance for listening. I definitely appreciate it. And as you know, Sal Sharaf is available wherever you listen to podcasts, specifically on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. Please continue to rate, review, listen, and subscribe to all shows for Sal Sharaf Radio. And to continue to listen to my entire catalog of podcast shows, please make sure that you subscribe to SalSharaf.com. Once again, that's SalSharaf.com. It's the AV Podcast with Cal C on Sal Sharaf Radio. Welcome to the AV Podcast, where our lives have seemingly changed as we know it due to the outbreak of the coronavirus flu strain, otherwise known as COVID-19. It has affected close to 500 people as of this recording in Canada. It's introduced terminologies to us such as social distancing, flattening the curve, and self-isolation and quarantine. And we have to take each term seriously. I'm joined here today by my Sal Sharaf family members to have this conversation on our thoughts about the virus and how it's affected our society. Please welcome Sean Adonis, Headley, and Kevin W. I appreciate you guys for coming here today.
Let's be clear. I didn't go anywhere today. I'm in my house. But with that said, thank you for inviting me over the phone.
You're welcome, Sean. You're welcome. Obviously, this is over the phone. This is not. We're all in our safe spaces here. There's so much to cover, and honestly, with the swirl of information that's changing almost hourly at this point, we won't be able to cover everything here in this one podcast, but I definitely want to have the conversation on as much topics about this as we can cover within this time frame. I'm going to start with Headley because, like I was telling Headley the other day, according to one of our chat groups, he was the Dan Rather Tom Brokaw of the coronavirus updates and information. He's probably been on this before it started. So I'd like to have Headley start for us to get his thoughts and opinions of when did you start taking this serious?
Well, I had a unique perspective because my brother-in-law, I have family that's in China that was teaching, right? So when this broke out in China, I was obviously more concerned about him. So, You know, I was hitting him up as like, yo, what's the mood over there, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what made me start following it because obviously to date they have like, what, 80,000 confirmed cases. So obviously at the beginning, everything was in Wuhan, which I never heard where Wuhan was until then. Come to find out it was like a 4-hour drive from where he's at. So that's why I started kind of really paying attention. And then the more I paid attention to it, the more I felt like, yo, if this doesn't stay contained, this could be a real problem that's on our hands. So that's probably why, that is the reason why I kind of watched it earlier than everybody else. Probably about mid-January was when I started taking notice of it.
Okay, so what about you, Sean? Like, when did you start taking it serious?
Well, I'd say for work, I have to travel to Vancouver quite often since November. So anybody who's ever been to Vancouver knows that Vancouver is China of North America, essentially, right? Like, you have a large Chinese community there. Mm-hmm. So I'm never the type, and all these xenophobes who take advantage of this, or react by, you know, acting mortified or scared of Chinese people. That was never my move or never my feeling, because, you know, when I was there, I had no problem interacting with whomever it was, restaurants or whatever. But with that said, logic told me, okay, because there's a large Chinese population, I would imagine travel between here and China is going to be pretty frequent. So anywhere in Canada that's going to get hit hard is going to be BC or Vancouver, right? With that said, I'd say it was some, so my last trip out there was, I traveled in January, and I at that time I wasn't too concerned. I knew about it, but I still went to the gym out there. Either way, I'm sure they'll get a handle on this at that point. Then I had to travel out there again beginning of March, just to let you know how things change. So I traveled out there beginning of March. I wasn't overly concerned. Mind you, I brought my Lysol wipes and my mask on the plane. I wiped down everything that I would come in contact with, my freaking headrest, my seatbelt, everything with Lysol, right? Mm-hmm. Put on my mask. And I didn't feel like an idiot, because no one really looked at me twice. I said, oh, okay, I understand why you're wearing that mask. That was, I think, the 1st of March. I was supposed to come back the 13th of March. I ended up changing my flight to come back a day early so I didn't get stranded. Not because I was afraid necessarily that they would cut off, you know. I didn't know what to expect, actually, because every hour, that's the day before, they canceled NBA, they canceled this, they canceled that. We were receiving messages from Air Canada that, you know, if somebody seems symptomatic, that they have the right to refuse entry. I'd say by Thursday of last week, I started to get slightly alarmed that I might have taken for granted that this would be something that would be a lot less impactful than today we all globally realize it is.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Kevin?
About 2 weeks ago. But that's because my mind takes me in weird places, and I think that there's always more to what we're being told. But, like, 2 weeks ago, when they try to isolate it to, like, it's at a certain place, but then I'm like, if you're reporting that, why are you still allowing people, like, why are you not monitoring or testing people and just allowing flights to happen time after time after time, like, day after day?
Right.
Hundreds, if not thousands of flights, just releasing people into the water, you know what I mean? And I was just like, this isn't cool. And it's like, no cases. And actually, I think you guys remember this. There was that health minister, I think it for Ontario, and he had this statement that Canada's prepared to, you know, to face this virus or whatever. Like, Ontario's ready to face this virus. And I just immediately told him, like, we're in trouble. Like, no, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
No way. Right? Like, there's no podium that can just, like, oh, we're not concerned. We should be concerned. It's usually, like, the opposite. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, like, for you guys in relationships where you're, like, about to go to the club, you ask your girl, like, or your girl asks you, like, oh, where are you going? Going to the club. Okay. But what's up? Nothing. I'm fine. Like, No. You become a little bit skeptical. You know what I mean?
Mm.
That's when it started to hit me, and I literally, like, I had my toilet paper 2 weeks ago, amongst other things. Like, I have Caribbean parents. We always had, like, a stock room of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not as much in a panic as, like, other people right. might be. But even now, like, you go to the stores, man, it's bad.
Yeah, I think for me, honestly, part of it started with Headley and that chat group, because even though you're catching a bit of it in the news, you know, when you're in chat groups, like, at Headley, like, I'm not even joking here, like, almost daily you would be giving, like, the updates as to how much people got infected, how much people died in China. At first it started off as, like, a joke, but afterwards you're like, oh, shoot, like, these numbers are kind of building up, you know, like, you started, like, keeping your eye on it. But then I would say probably about a week and a half ago, I would say, because you started noticing again, just a little day-to-day living, just, you know, go to the store, toilet paper is, like, damn near off the shelf, and you're like, what the hell? Like, why is everybody buying all this I still don't know why people are killing the toilet paper like this, but I'm like, this was just starting, like, a week and a half ago in some of these stores here, and I'm like, damn, like, you can't get toilet paper? Like, what the hell's going on here? You know what I mean? I think for a lot of people, where it kind of hit home was, I know for myself, where we, you know, I think that the everything kind of just really registered for everybody was the whole situation with the NBA shutting down, like the one major corporation sports league to like completely just fold their business or suspend their business, all businesses, you know what I mean, based on a player, you know, contracting the virus. Like, that to me was something I'd never seen before, because I had flashed it on that OKC Utah game, and I was, you know, trying to get the kids ready for bed, but I know the game had already started, so I just, you know, I put it on, like, thinking it's probably, like, close to the end of the first quarter, and, you know, as I'm getting the kids ready and stuff, I'm looking at the TV, and I'm like, that's funny, how come they're still just, like, is there, like, why is there a delay? You know, you're thinking maybe there's condensation on the floor, because I didn't have the volume on or anything like that, so I'm thinking, like, okay, well, it's what's the delay kind of thing? I had no idea what was going on. But then in the back of my mind, I'm like, I wonder if it has to do with the coronavirus. And I'm like, nah, it can't be that. It can't be, no way, you know? And then once I think I finally got a chance to turn the volume up, and I heard, like, that, I think as soon as I turned the volume up, that's when they announced that they were canceling the game. And I knew there was nothing wrong with the floor, because they showed mascots, like, shooting half-court shots and stuff, and, you know, cheerleaders and dancers, like, you know, continuing a routine. So I'm like, okay, well, the floor is fine. So I'm like, man, does this have to do with the coronavirus? And then I think maybe about a half hour after, that's when you saw Rudy Gobert got tested positive for it. And within a span of what was it, like 30 minutes, the league shut down. Tom Hanks and his wife they announced that they had the coronavirus. Donald Trump had his national speech. Another player got contracted with the virus in the soccer league, I believe. And something else happened. It was about five different things that happened within a span of 30 minutes, literally about 35 minutes to be exact. And that's when I was like, yo, I think, like, we're seeing something monumental here, and not in a good way. And it's going to really shift a lot of things in the next few days. I even turned to my wife and said, like, yo, I think a lot of shit is going to start shutting down soon, like businesses and different things, just because then you started hearing, like, other leagues and other businesses tied to that, you know, looking to, like, suspend businesses and shut everything else down. So I think when you saw that, to me, that's when I was like, yo, like, this is like for real serious, for real, real serious. And you're seeing the effects of it now, because right now, like I said, we're doing this podcast, and I don't even want to go too much info heavy, because it's going to change probably by the time this is released. I don't know, like, especially what's happening with the economy and stuff right now. Like, just to get your guys' thoughts, like, what, like, I know, Sean, you had a lot of thoughts offline before we started this, but, like, just the impact of how this is going to affect the economy, first off. I mean, it's affecting it in so many ways, but, like, first off, like, in terms of the economy, like, what are your thoughts and, like, what are your feelings on how do you think it's going to affect the economy?
All right, so let me preface this by saying, and before we go there, right? I don't minimize in any way the severe health impact of COVID-19. Okay, I think that it's a virus we don't know a lot about. We don't have a good understanding of the long term effects. I'm hearing that even some of the young people that recovered that have a nice recovery from it, they have scarring of the lungs and reduced function of the lungs by 20-30%, right? I don't know if that's something that's going to be long lasting or it's going to get better. I have no idea. With that said, I think that our loved ones that are elderly or immune compromised, they're in danger. This is all to make sure that we keep them alive, right? So I don't minimize the health impact of this at all. Absolutely. I think we're about to hit a global, I won't even say recession. I think Kevin or someone just said, whatever they tell you, they spoon feed you enough to not make you panic. We're about to hit global depression of historic proportions we've never seen, right? When you think about essentially everything but non-essential commerce has shut down globally, right? So your restaurants, your stores, your bars, your gyms, anything that was in the pipeline as far as new business, you know, people who own their own business, you know, who have their own businesses, all that shut down. I get email after email from everybody, from my barber to my accountant doing my taxes, to Nespresso saying, we're closing, you can no longer come do business face to face, right? The banks have said, the big six have said they're going to give you 6 month leeway for your mortgages. Banks never do that. They never did that in 2008 when there was a collapse. They didn't do that, right? Mm-hmm. Credit cards are talking about, credit companies are talking about giving you leeway as far as your credit card payments. That's never happened to my knowledge. So I'm scared for my family that, you know, as far as the virus, but I'm a bit more scared about the financial impact of this. I think that we're headed to a Great Depression that is going to eclipse the Great Depression globally. I'm very afraid of that. And we can talk about this a bit later, but I'm also very afraid by the fact that they don't have enough supplies to be able to take care of the people that do get sick. But anyway, we can touch that later. But as far as financially, my real fear is if this takes about 6 months to weather, as a global community, we can do it. But what is the impact of that after? How do we pick up the pieces after? Our mortgages, the values of our houses, everything, man. That really, really scares me. I won't even lie.
Just to echo some of the stuff that Sean was saying, we're not going to see anything like this equivalent to what the Great Depression was. And I said it with a dead face. Whatever happened in 2008 with the subprime mortgage and AAA bonds and stuff like this, it's going to look minute in the scale of this. And as Sean was saying, information changes on a daily, actually on an hourly basis. Last week, the stock exchange, the index, have lost globally $6 trillion, which was equivalent to what it was in 2006. And that was last week. And we know it's continuing to decrease ever since. Yes, there'll be time, you know, it might spike for a day or two, but it looks like somebody dropped off the cliff when you look at the stocks, how it reacted in the last, since the beginning of the month. Not to mention, when you look at the housing market, United States right now, their prime, I believe if it's not at 0% right now, the overnight lending, it's going to be zero in the near future. They're even talking about it might even be negative. Bank of Canada, I think, is at 2.5% right now, or 2.95, something. I think 2.45, something like that. There's a chance that's going to decrease. As Sean was saying, I've never in my lifetime have heard of a bank giving a break to consumers.
Yeah, I know.
The only reason that's happening is because Trump, and I know, just recently we had a federal announcement, but there's a $10 billion stimulus plan, and that's just what they're saying now. Who knows what that's going to be the final number once this is all said and finished. We already know by this being deemed a pandemic, the states actually have a bond worth $50 billion that they can now seep into. They've always said that the next war would not be fought with guns. It would be fought economically or fought virally. Bill Gates talked about this. And we're seeing the impact right now. Exactly what Sean was saying. As much as we fear what this is going to happen in terms of our health, it's funny. I saw this quote. It was about TDSB, which for the Toronto District School Board when they closed it down, and they had said, I can't remember what the exact quote was saying, is that we will never know if we're overreacting, because if we're overreact and we're able to come in and resurface on the other side, all is good. But if we underperform in the need of this crisis, it will cripple us because we'll see the effect. So yeah, we're seeing, a lot of people might be saying, like, you know, with all this stuff that's closing down, it's a little bit of overkill. But when you look at the numbers, they're saying, even though it may not be a mortality rate that's very high right now, but you're seeing reports where they're saying that in the Canadian country, they're saying it could be up to 70% of 35 to 70% of people will get infected. They're saying in the United States that they could see 100 million people be affected with this. And that's the thing. this is an unknown. We have no vaccine for this. We don't know if this can morph into something a lot more unstable than it is right now. They say there's two things that people work on is fear and greed. And there's a lot of fear right now, both economically, and I think not enough for the impact it could have on our health. And I know we'll touch base more on that afterwards, because I know we're really talking about the economical things right now, but I just wanted to echo a lot of the points that Sean is saying, that I think people really should be taking this serious.
I'll say that, sorry. You know, having you guys go back to back is just like, this shit is getting kind of depressing.
I know.
literally just staring at my wall like, yo, am I, this is over?
Yeah, man.
Like, you guys showed
revelations.
Like,
revelations. You guys,
I think that those that were on, because, you know, like, economically speaking, there are all these studies that say that people are like $400 away from not having enough money to cover their bills.
Right.
In North America, like, we've heard that before, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those people that are on the fringe, those people that are like on the edge, they're going to feel it first, but a lot of people are overextended, and they have been overextending because, like, let's say in 08, we got the bailout money. You know, and that kept people afloat. So they all keep my two cars and my boat and my this and my that. All these items that we might not have needed in the long run. I think it's going to be a reality check for a lot of people, and I think this will take months, if not years, to recover from. This is not anything like, oh, it's only a springtime thing, and then we're going to be good. Everything shut down. Let's say for those people that worked in daycares or whatnot, you know, they're not getting that projected income. And yeah, they might suspend mortgage payments. And you're right, it is really like Christmas in March. Everyone, like, banks are forgiving loans. Banks have economic forecasters that basically look down the pike, and they're saying, like, for all of them to just come up with this, like, look, we got to do something. Since when does a bank give you a break? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if that doesn't make your ears perk up, like, yo, you guys have been, everything you do is for profit, you know? Like, and that's just the way things go. But when, like, economically speaking, my inbox, Sean, like Sean was saying, A&W sending me emails about how they're, you know, and how, and Superstore is committed to me, and Shoppers Drug Mart.
Okay.
Yeah. All these CEOs are writing these letters. Like, I don't. And it's like, oh, we're all committed. Like, you guys know that I think, economically speaking, those that had a bit of foresight, a bit of opportunity to put something aside, to like actually have that emergency fund, to have that in case of emergency break glass cash. This is what they braced for. But for others, globally, like, forget it. And all those businesses, you're also like, you're supposed to project, like, we're Q2 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So all these losses that are being reported, how are people going to make, you know, reach the targets that they had? And it's just the first domino. There's so much to process. Like, it's unfathomable globally. For the whole world to be like, okay, I know we usually don't care about each other and just focus on money. Be like, let's just put a break on this for now, and let's just try and stay alive and healthy.
Just to try to wrap your head around everything is, I think that's where I think a lot of people are in the process of trying to do right now, because it's a lot for everybody. You know what I mean? There's a lot of information being shared. You know, you're looking at, like, you know, I know Trudeau presented like a kind of like a stimulus package as well that's designed to help people deal with this for the tough time. But like the long term effects of shutting down your business, especially like small businesses, and if you're an entrepreneur that's not in the essentials business, or like, you know, or helping people to escape type of business, like, you know, people who do shows, events, you know what I mean, do parties, like, there's just things like that, for example, like, You know, you're going to see the effects of things like that as well. People who own clubs, people who own, you know, as you said, like restaurants and different things. Like, you know, like having, if you're like a franchise, you may survive, but like your mom and pop short stores, and how are they going to survive 4, 5, 6 months if it goes that long without getting that revenue? You know, like, I think that's, like, that's the worrisome part. Like, there's definitely going to be a significant shift, and just not just financially, but just really in just all phases of our lives at this point, you know, when you kind of project to get out. Like, I have a friend of mine who's a principal, and, you know, just to you know, touch everybody here that's like has kids and going to school, the daycares and everything else. Talking to him, you know, he's like, they're talking April 5th. He's like, this is going way past April 5th. You know, like, I think everybody kind of recognizes that now. But, like, you know, that projection is like, you know, you're getting the news in stages, because even he's like, I think elementary school is done for this year, and high school might be done. And you know what I mean? Like, so it's like the effects of now having your businesses be affected from parents working from home, you know, and not at the best capacity, not with the best technology, because everybody's sharing the same Wi-Fi space. It's, I don't know. I don't know what to expect from it. I don't know.
Well, you already know from JK to grade 12 is already been canceled in Alberta and BC.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only inevitable that the other provinces follow suit, I think.
And that's the other part, too, is it's, you know, like, I think things are happening rapidly. And part of it is due to, like, I would say public pressure, but just the pressure of Headley shuts down. And it's like Headley's a big conglomerate. Yeah. He shuts down, and it's, now everybody's looking at Sean like, okay, well, Sean, what are you doing? Headley's doing this. Why aren't you doing what Headley's doing? You know what I mean? So it's like, and you're seeing it in some cases, like in, you know, like in all businesses, really, where it's like, okay, well, this industry has to like scale this back because, you know, Headley scaled it back, and now Kevin has to scale it back, and now I have to scale it back. You know, so it's like the domino effect of everything happening daily is just crazy.
I mean, we saw that exactly in the sport industry. Once the NBA shut down, it's like every other major sport within days followed suit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's like now, one, even if you didn't want to, just for the PR, you look insensitive. Like, you don't care about
humanity,
your people or humanity or whatever the case may be. If you're staying open, if they're gonna close, and you know what I mean? So it's like, as you said, it took that one domino to fall, and it's just everything else is just falling into place, or falling out of place, so to speak, this situation.
When you think about the magnitude of that, right? So this school year is a wrap. How do they salvage that? Are they going to make everybody continue when this is done? Is it going to be just a complete write-off of this semester for everybody? Like, I don't think we've ever seen that, man.
Yeah.
Even that alone, you know what I mean? And it's like, man, again, I hate to beat the dead horse, but I get multiple emails daily from my work changing in certain policies, changing in bench policies, because we're a service provider. So changing in bench policies, extending that, shutting down offices, you know, reducing to only virtual interviews, shutting down visitors to offices, letting everybody work from home who doesn't have to be in the office. And this is really just the beginning, man. Like, initially, I think that we were all comforted because, you know, you get comforted by the fact that something is not where you live, right? Mm-hmm. So you say, okay, it's in China. That's quite far from me. You know, same way Ebola virus. Ah, well, you know, I love my Africans. We are African, but it's pretty far from here, you know? Then when you saw, okay, so it went from China to Europe, and Italy got hit pretty hard. Me, I was in Italy last year. I love Italy. Like I said last year, man, I can't wait. If there's anywhere I want to go back to, it's Italy. And when you see now that 2 weeks ago, they had numbers that were quite similar to even Canada as far as affected people, you know, and where they are now, 17,000, 18,000, whatever it is. It's really quite sobering, you know, and you know, you think about when SARS, you know, SARS hit Toronto pretty hard, and they were saying SARS is incredibly contagious, but it didn't hit globally. I'm looking now like this thing, and again, as far as numbers, it's not like, even when you talk about United States, what you're saying, 4,000 or whatever it is, 8,000 for 300 million people. Is that a large percentage? No, it's not, you know, but like Kevin or someone said, we don't have a vaccine to this. We're not immune to this at this point in time. Like Headley said, we don't know if it's going to mutate, right? So it's like, man, you know, within 2 weeks, it goes 10 times what it was. And that's in Italy, who had implemented measures similar to what we are in North America. And mind you, I don't know about where you guys live. A lot of idiots here aren't following this shit.
A lot of what's up? Right?
A lot of idiots in Quebec are not following this stay-at-home shit.
Yeah.
So Italy told people to stay home 2 weeks ago. They were taking it seriously. You saw they were singing to each other from their windows. And then they went from 400 to what now? 17,000. I heard that there was 4,000 more cases in Italy overnight or from yesterday. Man, they've been on lockdown. How are there 4,000 more cases, man?
Just to touch on what you're talking about. So they're saying with the self-quarantine, obviously, you know, there's different graphs that shows how Calvin had talked about flattening the curve by doing the self-quarantine and getting tested, et cetera, et cetera. But we all know that's going to take time. And right. It's how fast that this thing can multiply. I remember the first time I heard, you know, at the beginning, all the cases were people who had traveled to either Europe or had traveled from Asia that were the ones that tested positive, right? Mm-hmm. But then when you started finally seeing those cases where it involved people who hadn't traveled whatsoever, so now the virus has completely gone blind. You can't track it now. So it basically really means that anyone and everyone could be a mark, so to speak, right? And you're seeing this, like, you know, there's 5,000 cases in the States right now. At the way it's multiplying, who knows what that's going to be in another month from now. So that's why when a lot of people is like, okay, yeah, it's only 2% of the people or 5% of the people, whatever the number is today, with the fatality rate. And most of the fatality rate, as Sean touched on, are elderly that already have
pre-existing conditions,
ongoing symptoms, or ongoing respiratory issues or ailments that they're taking, you know, measures and medicine for, right? So obviously their immune system is already compromised. But seeing how quickly this is mutating, if you're looking at just the hard numbers, potentially worst case scenario could be in the millions, right? And the thing is, we're still working on a vaccination, and any vaccination that they come out with, I mean, how quickly have they been testing it, right? How effective are we even going to know what the vaccination is going to be? So, and to Sean's point, I find a lot of, I don't want to, because I'm pretty sure there's older people that are, you know, our age that probably think just the same, that, you know, since they're healthy, it's not as a concern to them. But they don't realize, and as Kevin said, is like, let's just be sympathetic to your neighbor, right? The more that you put yourself in danger, you could spread that to somebody else. You can spread that to your grandparents or somebody that's in your circle. You might recover from it, but you could be a carrier yourself. We already know that you could be a carrier up to 2 weeks and don't have any symptoms yourselves. Then you're hearing about people who had recovered and somehow had either caught it again, or it was dormant in their system and then it came back up. So we still don't even know what the true success rate of people who have been, I guess, released or been cleared of a healthy bill, right? Just like in anything, until you have a history that's been developed, you really don't know. You can all you can do is project hypothetically what can happen, but we don't have concrete facts. And I think, you know, because you talk about millions of people die of the common flu. 50,000 people in the States alone died from the common flu last year, and we don't hear about it. And I think, I hope we will touch on it, because I think the media is definitely pulling on people's strings, because obviously the media is all about centralized news. So obviously the more they talk about this is pumping their ratings and so forth as well too. And I think that is contributing to a lot of the fear. Not to say that we shouldn't be informed. We should. and with social media and stuff like that, it's really, I think that's putting a lot of people in a panic because they're only reading the headlines and not reading like the fine prints, what they should be doing as well too, right?
Yeah, it's hyper-sensationalizing everything.
Yeah, exactly. But definitely with the flu and all that stuff, at least we know how we can contain it. Unfortunately, especially with the U.S., I mean, they're not a third world country. There's no excuse to have that many people is dying from the common flu, but that's a different pot all in itself. But it's the fact of the unknown, the fact of the big question mark with this, one of the real reasons, granted reasons why this is getting a lot more news than, I guess, past viruses or ailment, and not to mention in the whole new social media era that we're in now. It's like looking at news before TV and then looking at news after TV. It's the same thing with social media now. Like it's almost comparing apples to oranges.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Kevin. I know you haven't said anything in a while. Did you want to jump in and add anything else?
Kevin's about to hang himself.
No. If I wanted to die, I'd just go to the grocery store and try and get out with the last roll of toilet paper. What was the question?
No. I was just asking if there's anything else you want to add to it. That's all.
There is. And without putting our last names out there or our email addresses, I wonder if, you know the old adage, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure?
Mm-hmm.
What if all these measures were implemented 2 weeks beforehand? And instead of even thinking about it, because I think a lot of the motivations that were given were financially based. And it's true there are a lot of companies that put finances before health. You know, sometimes we expect corporations to have hearts and souls and whatever the case may be. But what if 2 weeks ago this would have been like, look, this is what we know about some of the symptoms. This is what we know about what it's basically untrackable. You could have it and show symptoms. You could have it and not show symptoms. Great. What does that do for mass, you know, for the masses that are going out there and one person coughs in line? You know what I mean? Like, forget it. It's a wrap for you, especially if you're of a certain persuasion. Like, but if governments would have put these measures in place instead of, we'll just write it out, do you think it would have gone as far?
I'll start off by saying that if I want to say government in a full encompasses type definition, where I'm talking about all government or all countries, they failed us, plain and simple. As I said, I had a unique perspective because I was watching this early, just because I had kind of skin in the game because I had a family member that was in China. Luckily enough, he actually. I think the first reported case was in late December, but by the time it started to get news, this all happened around Chinese New Year. He had already planned a vacation, and he was out. He was actually out of the country in the Philippines. However, at that time, we were talking through WhatsApp.
WhatsApp
on a daily basis, huh?
WhatsApp, you mean?
Say that again.
WhatsApp, you mean?
Yeah. What did I say?
You said what's up.
Oh, sorry, my bad. Lord. You know, I stay up messing up names, but yeah, okay. On what's up. And did I just say what's up again?
You did.
My goodness, man. You have the application for a decade. No mercy. Everything vulnerable for you, boy.
Don't worry. Alzheimer's might get you before the coronavirus.
You
should be all right.
You bunch of niggas like Shaq, man. Holy shit.
What's up? And I was telling him, I was like, dude, like honestly speaking, how this thing is spreading, like, you know, obviously they were one of the first ones to start doing classes online. So he's doing everything online right now.
Mm.
But I was like going to him, I was like, yo, dude, I don't care what they're saying. I wouldn't go back if I were you. It's not worth that chance. And I have my reservations as to how the virus came about, right? I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist and stuff like that.
Right.
I think I have a, you know, some intelligence to think about, you know, what could be a possibility and what might be, you know, more like alien talk or whatever the case may be. But for something in this day and age in 2020 to come out of absolutely nowhere to catch us this off guard, there's a monumental amount of mistakes that have to been done. And we're seeing, I mean, just, we got an idiot in Trump, unfortunately, where he went and talked about how he thought this is a...
Oh, it's a hoax.
Pardon?
A hoax drummed up by the Democrats.
A Democratic hoax.
Yeah. And it's funny how he said that just in January. And then in March, he's talking about, oh, I always knew this was a pandemic. If somebody would have told me this 10 years ago, that somebody could be caught in so many untruths, so many lies or so many fables and not be accounted for it, I would say it's impossible, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So in regards to what we could have done, and as Kevin said, even if they would have done it 2 weeks earlier, I mean, borders weren't closed. I spoke to my family member. I've spoken to other people. This wasn't when it was just still contained in China. This is when it had already spread out to other Asian countries and has had great spillover into Europe. And people are still coming unchecked, unfazed, coming into this country. If you already start putting parameters in, once the virus has already penetrated our walls or penetrated our virtual borders, it's too late at that point. Yeah, definitely. Obviously, you have to do what you need to do to self-contain it at that point.
That is true.
But once it's past those walls already, you're in somewhat at its mercy, right?
Yeah.
Until you try to snuff it out.
And it's tough because like when you look at like the airports and stuff, some airports are like understaffed. You know what I mean? And the countries that are being on that ban list, like people are just flying in from other, like going to other countries and flying in from those countries and still coming in, and they're not being tested, they're not being checked. You know what I mean? The right questions aren't being asked. They're understaffed. So like all of it is like it's like a snowball effect. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's why I say when like to blame government, you can't really pinpoint. It's a globally we were failed. Like the system that was not put in place, we weren't ready for this, right?
Mm-hmm.
The people that we leave in charge or we vote for, whatever the case may be, they did not see this.
And I think as you stated before too, like with the media and stuff kind of like hyper sensationalizing, like, you know, like and clickbaiting these like the items and things that's coming across like the news scroll, it's when you're putting people in a sense of fear and, you know, to touch on what we were saying earlier, a sense of greed, because you know, like you're getting like a harsh reminder or just a reminder about the depths of inhumanity with people. Just day-to-day living, like just seeing how people are hoarding, fighting for grocery items, like people are fighting over grocery items that what they would have stepped over like a few days before. And it's really revealing like the character of people. You know, like they always say, like, you know that adage where like the true character of a person is seen when their back is against the wall. Like you're seeing it and we're barely in it. You know, like that. There's that story with the hand sanitizing. I forgot his name is Mike Colvin, the hand sanitizer guy that bought 17,770 bottles of hand sanitizer in Tennessee and Kentucky, and was selling it back on Amazon to the point that he had to get shut down, and the FBI was coming from because he was selling the bottles back from anywhere from $8 to $70. There's people out there that are hoarding Lysol wipes and they're making thousands upon thousands of dollars selling it back on Kijiji and those type of things. You're seeing, like I said, the fist fights for like toilet paper and cleaning products and different things. Like you've seen that I know everybody saw the viral video of the Indian woman and the black woman fighting over toilet paper because she wanted one and the other person had like eight. Like my heart goes out because there's poor people who can barely afford to shop at a regular price. And now products are being sold back to them at Kijiji and these different sites for dumb prices. You know, like it's you're like the effects of the depths of inhumanity that you've seen just within a span of less than a week. Like it's a little troubling. You know what I mean? Like you always knew it was there, obviously, but like the things you're seeing, like it's just I just think it's just crazy to me.
And not to get all crazy, like you know that you know we're gonna see a complete anarchy or something like that.
Right.
But you're seeing reports that gun purchases in Canada is at an all-time high now, with ammunition going up.
Yeah.
Right. You're seeing videos where, especially in the Caribbean, where they don't have the same kind of, resources that we have over here, where you're seeing them taking matters in their own hands, doing rallies at airports, condemning all the foreigners coming into their country. And what's going to happen when our police force gets contaminated with the virus? Because it's not a question of if, it's when. And to what point can they subdue it? As you said, when it comes, you got fear and greed. You know, there's potential violence as well, right?
Yeah.
So these are things that kind of, you know, it wraps in my brain, and it kind of like trying to figure out what the next play is, because as Kevin alluded to it, like most people are $400, $500 away. Or paycheck to paycheck from paying their bills. And we also know that most Canadians, their biggest asset is their home. Canadians have surpassed Americans in terms of, and as Kevin started, over-leveraging, spending beyond their means, trying to keep up with the Joneses, who have maxed out their HELOCs on luxuries, and, you know what I mean, aren't ready for this. And if anything that comes out of this, I think two things are going to come out of it. One, I think companies are going to be much more forgiving when it comes to work-life balance, and you're going to see more companies embrace the working at home phenomenon or philosophy. Mm-hmm. Some of them do it, but you know, it's always kind of like, you know, as a last resort to do it. I think you're going to see a lot more companies and probably a lot more people mandate for it when they can with their contract negotiation, more so than cash, about having that balance where they can be at home. And two, we really have to look at ways of having multiple streams of income. When you see something like this happen, where everybody knows that, yes, no job is not like back in the industrial era where, you know, you're working at a job for 25 years and then you retire and you get your Rolex watch and you live off your pension. We all know that that has passed, but for the most part, people still rely on a single income, or they might have a little hobby on the side. But I think you're going to see people probably being a lot more conscientious about, you know, finding a home business or some multi-level marketing or something as a safety net. Not that we ever think that this something like this gravity will happen again, but just to be on more stable ground, so you're not, people don't feel as shaky or as scared as they are right now.
So, you know, aside from the economic catastrophe that we've discussed, and aside from the fact that I'm also a bit nervous that crime is going to go way up, right? Because of the fact that, you know, people are going to be poor, they're going to be starving, they're going to be finding themselves in dire straits. And what do? They have to find a way to take care of themselves. And then you're going to have opportunists that take advantage of this and try to take advantage of the fact that, you know, I don't know if you guys saw in Philly, they already said that they're going to not arrest people for nonviolent crimes for the time being. That shit's not going to go over well. So
who's doing that? Philly?
In Philly, yeah. So with that said, I'm a bit nervous, like you said, about the times that are ahead of us. But I think that in the grand scheme of things, what we were hit with this global pandemic, like I was watching a documentary the other day about SARS. SARS, as far as a virus, was way worse than this, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It just didn't have the staying power, and it just fizzled out. But as far as contagion and mortality, goodness, SARS was a beast, okay? Now, at this moment, this virus is not that. And what this virus has shown us, though, it's a test run, that if we're hit with a global pandemic that has a higher mortality rate than this, right, and is more lethal and more devastating to societies than this, we would lose as many people as were infected by this. We're not prepared for this. I heard today in the news, they're already talking about the United States is already running out of supplies, right? Italy is already saying, if you're over 80, stay home, because we're not going to take care of you. You know, so if you're over 80, you get infected with the virus, don't bother coming. Try to weather it out. And as time goes on, that's going to get worse. It shows us that, what, like one of you guys said, or if I heard this on the news, I can't remember, information is getting confused where I get it from now. They stocked an emergency oil supply, right, to weather the storm in case of emergency. But they don't stock emergency medical supplies. Now, this could be the test run that we needed, even though it's going to be devastating. But test run we need to show, hey, when the next pandemic comes, because it will, if it's more lethal, at least we're more better prepared, because now we're not anywhere near prepared. So this might be the test run we needed to get everybody focused to our priorities. Guys, at the end of the day, all this money shit, hey, it's worthless. Money's what? Nothing. Right? All the stuff we call wealth, what is it? At the end of the day, it's nothing. But as far as keeping us alive as a global community, we got to start focusing more energy toward that. And I think this might be what catapults us to that direction, hopefully.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a chance to, well, like I said before, it's a new shift. It's going to be a definite shift in all phases of industry and all phases of life. And it's also it's almost like pressing the reset button on your video game. It's like it's a chance to go back to basics in a lot of ways. And the way a lot of society is set up, especially fast moving, you know, that whole, like, I need my everything and anything right now or you're useless to me. Like, it's really going to be a struggle for a lot of people in that sense, too. For example, like, you know, people are here struggling and worrying about, like, toilet paper, for example. I'm just bringing it just back to real, like, just to everyday living. You know, we're West Indian. Like, we have parents that's come from worse. You know what I'm saying? So, like, really, that should be the least of our problems. But we're so conditioned to a certain way of living. Just the thought of going to basics, just back to the basics for even just for something like that, is almost mentally catastrophic for people. You know, like it's so I think it's like it's a reset for just so many things, man. Like, I mean, geez, even I don't know about you guys, but even just talking to people over the phone, just some in the past years, like some people would be we're so conditioned to like having our phones and texting, and like sometimes you'll call people and it's like they're so agitated just for, you know, you call them instead of texting them. You know what I mean? So it's like now, like those kind of like, there's like an opportunity for those things to kind of change as well. Like just even in just the everyday living of just communication, because like everybody's going to be holed up in their houses. You know what I mean? So just FaceTime and just talking to you guys and just, you know what I mean? For, you know what I mean? And just having that human interaction, like that's going to be important. That's some of the stuff that's back to basics, whether it's small and minute, but it's, In the long scale, it's huge. You know what I mean? Like we kind of got to do a reset on everything, not just financially and health wise, but just even just communicating with people. You know what I mean? Just the way we do things is just like it's almost like a hard reset. So it's.
I wish I could be as optimistic, but I see things going in a worse direction. And first of all, if you're telling everybody to practice social distancing for this untraceable disease, for friends and family, that's fine. But for your everyday, like, you know, just help thy neighbor kind of thing, that common decency, I think that's blown completely out the window. And I also think that, like, there's probably going to be a lot more incidences of, dare we say, irrational profiling, so to speak. Do you know what I mean? There's going to be a lot more of that, because I think we're bombarded with so much misinformation. Unfortunately, there's still people that wanted to like troll and come up with a bunch of nonsense just for clicks, right? They'd rather be first with misinformation than be right with proper information a little bit like 5 minutes later, right? Like we just saw that last month with Kobe. Like there's an incident occurred, but you just want the clicks for some reason. But I think, like, globally. You're already seeing it now in the Caribbean, where they're having protests, keep these people out of our country kind of thing, right?
Right.
And that's the Caribbean, and there'll be a bit more of a drastic reaction. But think about, like, let's say Venezuela, that's been teetering on the brink of bankruptcy for years, and those people have been suffering for how long?
With civil unrest, you know, and everything else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And all the people that are going to be like, look, I've paid my taxes. I've paid my dues kind of thing. Where's my protection? Where's my help? And for people to be, oh, sorry, we're going off to quarantine kind of thing, fend for yourselves. Like, Ronaldo just took off to an island with his family. Yeah, you got to take my hotels. I'm out. You know what I mean? It's more or less like fend for yourself, survival of the fittest. And it's weird how, like, The Walking Dead came out, and it kind of, like, the propaganda of it is kind of like how, you know, like, The Walking Dead basically shows you, like, survival of the fittest, do what you have to do to survive kind of thing in Atlanta, right? But that was a very popular show, and you can't say that didn't pay any, you know, didn't plant a seed in people's heads, like.
Oh my, that shit has been killing my mind. I've been thinking about that shit like crazy. Like, man, is that the beginning of this? I'm a liar, man.
What I want to say on record is that just like any other crisis that's happened in our lifetime and in our ancestries, we shall overcome. It might sound a little cheesy, but I don't think this is the doom and gloom. Obviously, that, you know, there is going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. It's going to be I think it's going to be a different world. Either figuratively speaking or in realism in terms of new laws that's going to be put into place, because we know every time when there's a catastrophe of this kind of magnitude, this is when they take the opportunity to pass a lot of bills, which some is for the best, some may not be. So, I there's going to be a different world that we come out of this. And as I think Sean had said, hopefully when the next, because we know that there will be another pandemic, there always is. I mean, Obama had a team in place that Trump didn't even think about replacing.
Dismantled it.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't replace it, you know what I mean? So we know there's going to be a next one. Hopefully this is a small enough sample size that if something bigger comes, we'll be much more prepared for it. As we said, the fatality rates is low, but we don't know. Realistically speaking, we're still within the first kind of 90 days of this virus. Who knows what the sample size is going to be once it spreads for a year? I think, Kevin, you had mentioned, or somebody had put the facts about how many millions of flu kills, but they use that over a scale of a full year. We're really in the first quarter of this, right? If this spans a year, we'd be looking at these few numbers as cherries. But hopefully, if we can, obviously, the whole point is to flatten this curve as soon as possible. So at least we have the parameters in play when something much more powerful comes in that's taking out more people. We'll have the parameters in place where hopefully it never gets to be a pandemic, right?
Yeah.
So hopefully, positive that we can take out of this is that we're putting all the stuff in place now, and then hopefully the numbers kind of sustain where it's at and doesn't become worse than it is. So we are ready for when version 2A or 3.0 or whatever comes into effect. We know it's not if, but when it happens again.
Now, I kind of want to end on a lighter note before we go. So, what are we going to do without sports, man? Because there's only so much Netflix I could watch, bro. What are you guys looking at doing, like, in this self-quarantine phase in this period of time? Like, just in terms of, like,
I'll let somebody else talk, but I want to mention something about sports.
Anybody? Anyone to touch that? No? Everybody's too depressed?
Just work. To be honest with you, I have a lot of work anyway. I'm working during the week, so I work remote anyway, so there's much change there for me.
Right.
So other than that, when I'm not working, I'm just watching the news and absorbing it and that's what the impact it has on me is what you're hearing come out of me now. All this negativity after work, I observe what I've missed during the day, and then I go to the liquor cabinet. That's essentially my day.
Well, you know what? I mean, I joke, but at the same time, I'm like, listen, I do a podcast, and my style is not always based in sports, of course. But I mean, I also don't want to turn this into a COVID-19 podcast for the next few months either. You know what I mean? So that's where it's going to be. It's going to be interesting to see what. And I think like you're looking at that side of it too, where different shows and different things, like, you know, like sports, for example, like ESPN, they're talking about the NFL draft and all these different things. But like, sooner or later, the free agency period and stuff is going to die down. The draft is going to die down. What are you going to talk about? You know, so it's going to be a challenge for a lot of these content driven shows to, you know, content driven shows to like keep producing content in some of these cases when like you're fixated on one specific genre. If you're an MLS show, what are you doing? You know, you're MLS analyst. What are you doing for the next few months right now? You know what I mean? You're not talking about like bowling. You know what I mean? Like you're not breaking down like what your favorite movie is. You might be, but that's not going to be televised. That's going to be an interesting phase of life, even though it's a very small aspect of it. But that's going to be just interesting to see too. But sorry, go on, Kevin. If you want to add anything else,
I don't know how many more times I can watch top 100 plays of the decade, bloopers of the decade, darts, curling.
The curling, yeah.
This is the Scotty's Tournament of Hearts. Mm-hmm. This is week two, and starting to feel it. But I mean, if sports was your outlet, then you're really going to be feeling this.
Yeah,
really going to be feeling it. I luckily, like, because my team, the teams I root for, have been so moribund and disgusting. I've kind of like distanced myself from being attached to sports.
New York Knicks.
Thank you, Poland. But for all the other diehards out there, like, I don't know. Yeah, you get no playoff push. But I think another time, I mean, in hindsight, hopefully we'll all make it through this.
We will make it through this, man. Let's be positive here.
Right, but what I'm saying is, like, we always have this short-term memory about, like, the long-term. The best I can put it is we often have this ability, this gift and curse of being prisoners of the moment.
Right.
So in times like this, we do have the time to step back and focus on what's important. But then when things revert back to the normal mean, we go back to being the same like jerks and assholes that we usually are, right?
Right.
As a society. Hmm. But now in a time of crisis, we'll try to be a little bit more sympathetic. But then we can go back to like ignoring each other or whatever the case may be. You know what I mean? This reminds me of like, it was 22 years ago, 22 years and 2 months, gave us a little glimpse as to like what our true character really was, right? All right, guys, were you guys all in Montreal for the ice storm?
Yeah. I wasn't. I you know, it's funny. I was living in Toronto at that time. I left the day it started. I hopped on the VIA train the day it started.
Okay.
I think if I missed my train, I would have been stuck in Montreal for a week.
Right. That was like 2 weeks worth of like no power, still groceries and whatever else the case may be, right?
Right.
But it wasn't as scary. It definitely was quiet on the streets. But like it was that time to be like, yo, I really like this. There are so many more important, bigger things and whatever like that. It's like, oh, we got power back on again. Go F yourself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, As a society, we kind of had that in us. I just wonder, like, this, I don't know.
Okay, Hedley, you want to jump in before we wrap up?
Well, real quick about the sports. When I read that article where the Phoenix Suns were going to play out their NBA schedule as a virtual schedule.
So the esports, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think for leagues who has developed an esport or a virtual sport championship league, what a better time than the present right now to put that a full tilt and give it the exposure that it needs. Currently right now, a lot of those leagues are being played on platforms like Twitch and others that most people may not even be aware of, right? Mm-hmm. Especially now when you have all the money that's in the network. So it's money that's already been spent. I mean, they're filling up those time, as you said, with putting in darts and all these other meaningless things. What a time if the NBA with NBA and other leagues that has a virtual league, if they're like, you know what, let's pluck what we're putting on Twitch, put it on live TV, put on the networks, put some of those games in there. Those players that are part of those teams are now getting a major visibility. Maybe even have some of the players, because we know a lot of these players, they game as well too. They don't sleep at night.
Right.
So have pair them up with some of the virtual team players, and have the series or the league played out on a bigger platform. The NBA, I mean, they're losing money, they're losing shares, they're bleeding money as is because the contracts has already been signed. I think a lot of these leagues, just like the main franchise, they own the G League. They also own the virtual league, right? A lot of times.
Yeah.
But they don't really put any money into it. So this is money that's already spent. It's already debt and sunk costs. Put on a bigger platform and try to grow it. You have no idea. This is a time where leaps and bounds, because nobody has any other option when it comes to sports content, they'd be like, fuck, I never thought I would be watching virtual sports, but shit, it's better than nothing. They might watch it, and how about it? They might actually enjoy it, and they might be able to get a couple more sponsorships once this all goes back to regular afterwards. But especially now, seeing that, you know, they're still kind of with the idea of continuing the season come, like, summer. Use these months right now and build your secondary and third quarter businesses. And who knows, that can upstart. Well, I mean, we already know, like, e-gaming is a huge multi-billion dollar industry, but this might upkick that, a whole new revenue stream that might have taken years to get to in these bands a few months, right? So that's all I have to say.
Yeah, and I'm sure gamblers will love that too, because they need to bet on something. They're going to start betting on raindrops soon, so.
You're right. That too.
Yeah.
That too.
Yeah, so there's definitely that aspect. I mean, like I said, we'll be able to revisit all of these things, you know, much sooner than later, of course, as well as, like I said, again, keeping abreast of, like, the COVID-19 situation too. But I definitely like to thank you guys for hopping on the podcast today. You know, it's definitely been a pleasure. It's probably been the most dreary, sad podcast, I would say. I would say that's been on, but for the right reasons, of course. You know, but like, I definitely like to thank you guys for hopping on today. You know, I definitely appreciate you guys coming on today, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
Thank you so much for listening to the AV podcast. As always, I'm super grateful that you continue to support. I'd like to send a special shout out to my Sal Sharaf family members, Sean Adonis, Headley, and Kevin W. for coming on today and sharing their thoughts and views on this pandemic. I really appreciate having these guys on. Before we go, I just want to reiterate once again that while I'll definitely have a follow-up episode on coronavirus or war, for permits, of course, I don't plan on becoming the official podcast of COVID-19 either. Mainly because with all the news and information that's out there, all the practices that we have to now adopt, staying at home, being isolated with your loved ones if possible, social distancing, not being around crowds, continuing to wash your hands thoroughly, sanitizing, staying safe while we continue to push our best efforts to flatten the curve as quickly and as efficiently as possible. We got to continue to do so, being positive as much as possible as well. We can't get through this only through a foundation of fear. Now, as I stated earlier, this is a push of a reset button right now. It gives us all a chance to reevaluate what's important. In this time of isolation, communication is extremely important. Not just texting and sharing videos, but actually talking with each other, FaceTiming one another, supporting each other and helping others in need. Spending this valuable time with our loved ones. Look, I know I sound like an after-school special right now, but we're in the process of taking things day by day right now, and we got to continue to do so with positivity, even in the face of this chaos and what's to potentially come. There's always a positive in what we see and face. I think it's a good time right now to figure out what that is for you. Do whatever it is you got to do to get there, to keep your spirits up and the ones around you, and to really hold on to that. I know on top of catching up on some shows and your favorite movies, I also got to catch up on some books that I need to get back into, which includes Unleashing Mind Power by my friend and author, Jonathan Boxill. It's a great read. I'm going to save our conversation for a future podcast. We'll definitely get into that later. In the meantime, please stay safe out there, and let's continue to do our part to get through this together. For those that are affected by the coronavirus, please continue to fight, and stay positive. Once again, thank you for listening. I appreciate your support. We're going to get through this together. My name is Cal C, and you just tuned into the AV Podcast on South Shore Ave Radio. Until the next one, peace and love. Peace.